Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jonah Carey.
Yeah, great to see you.
Me too. I don't know who you are, but it's great to see you.
The Athletic and the Opener Podcast.
He's throwing his pillow. He's throwing his nightcap. And Yuppie's been thrown out of the ball game.
Tim Raines enthusiast.
Tim Raines.
Yeah!
Welcome to the Hall of Fame. Tim was rock solid playing.
Is that right?
Jonah Carey with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Brought to you by Continental Auto Sports. Searching for the pre-owned exotic of your dreams. Search Continental Auto Sports for the Continental difference. And the top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the 17th-ranked Cats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Single-game tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Let's talk some baseball with Jonah Carey. He is on Twitter, at Jonah Carey. He joins us on the Alphamonte Ford Hotline. Alphamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Hello, Jonah. How are you?
Great, fellas. How are you?
Great. We were watching some fireworks yesterday as Joe Maddon was taking umbrage at the continued approach by the Pittsburgh Pirates to stay up and in to Cubs hitters. Lots of inside fastballs, lots of fastballs in dangerous areas. I'd like to globalize it a little bit here. Isn't this a case of the major league swing changing, the major league approach being more susceptible to just that, high and inside fastballs than ever? Is this something across baseball, or is it just the rogue Pirates?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that this is a remedy toward everybody uppercutting every pitch. You know, Mike Trout is the signature player in the sport, and he is a notorious low ball hitter. We used to think of left-handed hitters as low ball hitters, but it doesn't matter now if you're left, right, whatever. You go after low pitches. And I think that from that standpoint, claiming the inside part of the plate, you know, without headhunting, without intent to injure and so forth, is a completely viable strategy. And frankly, I don't know that Joe Maddon gets that upset if the Pirates weren't stomping on the Cubs' heads all week. I mean, I think that's ultimately the problem here. So, yeah, maybe you can understand the frustration. Maybe the manager tries to do what he needs to do. The Cubs went on to win the game in which Maddon went volcanic. So I don't know. You know, maybe there's something to give them a little bit of kick in the tail. But the bottom line here is that it's, you know, again, as long as there's no intent to injure, you're perfectly entitled to pitch where you want to pitch.
Speaking of that stomping, Jonah, the Cubs guru of everything, Theo Epstein, was on with Mack and Parkins just a couple of days ago, and it was a pretty real interview. A little bit dejected, a little bit frustrated, a little bit looking forward to what things can change. I just wonder if you were told they're going to change something, what would you do with a team that is one of 10 in the National League, separated by 3.5 games?
It would help if they got a second baseman that they could rely on, right? I mean, I like David Bodie. I think that David Bodie, if given a clear shot at a job, might be the guy. He's not the best defender, though. That's the issue. He's got a pretty good bat. Addison Russell has all kinds of problems, and we're not even going to touch the off-field stuff. He's not that good. You know, he might be 25, maybe. I guess it's theoretically possible he's got improvement left in him. But he's not much of a hitter for power, for plate discipline, for anything. And obviously the off-field headaches make it much more difficult because he's not a popular player, to say the least. Then you've got the kid Robel Garcia. That's interesting. I mean, I guess you play that out a little bit and see how it goes. Obviously a very smashing debut, no question about it. But I'm of the mind that if they went out and got somebody like Whit Merrifield, I think that would help the team quite a bit as a stabilizer. Basically as somebody who would be Ben Zobrist, you know, but the new version of Ben Zobrist, the way that Zobrist was years ago. Somebody who gets on base, somebody who can do damage on the base paths, can make contact. I like that kind of acquisition. I think that could help this team a lot.
You're not the first guy to bring up Whit Merrifield. It's just the issue that we have is, are the Cubs going to build, or are they going to try to do everything they do to maximize this team? Or is it possible that that Theo Epstein decides to judge this as the clunker year in a window and maybe trade a foundational piece to try to extend the window? That's on the table.
Yeah, I think that's certainly possible. The issue is, which foundational piece are you talking about? I don't know about trades for the sake of trades. You don't say, well, this season hasn't gone well, Chris Bryant, see you later. I mean, I just have a hard time with that. I think that there's got to be strategy to it, and I think that you can retool, you know, on the fly, that you can, you know, trade again, I'm hesitant to say that I would want to trade a Rizzo or Bryant or whatever, but you can make a trade of a significant player and also pick up another player in another trade and kind of shake up the team, make it younger, and potentially make it not really worse for this year and still make a run at this season. That's the thing. I mean, they might be, the record might not be very good. Their recent performance might not be really good. But who's good in this division, right? The Brewers have a negative run differential. The Cardinals stink, man. They can't hit. The Pirates are the Pirates, and the Reds, I don't know, maybe the Reds are the best team in the division. They got the positive run differential, a good rotation, and yet they find themselves below 500. So it's a very winnable division, and, you know, there's honor to be had in winning 87 games and making the playoffs and winning division and taking your shot. You can win the World Series with a so-so season. The Cardinals won the World Series with 83 wins. It can be done. You don't need to be the best team in the sport to win it all.
So I've been yelling for a couple of weeks, Jonah, that the Cubs are, why not, the most talented team in this division. They've got every reason to go take it, despite the fact they've been playing like trash the last couple of weeks. When you look at I keep on getting told that the Brewers are actually that best team. When you look at them, what is their most acute issue to you?
Starting pitching. I wonder what they do beyond Brandon Woodruff. You know, they had better performances last year from guys like Chacin. They had Wade Miley, a very underrated part of their success last year, and they haven't had it this year. And even if you look at their bullpen, you know, last year they had Corey Knebel was in that bullpen to go with Josh Hader, and they had some of those young guys, Woodruff and Corbin Burns and all those guys were in the pen. They've been moved to Burns. It's been terrible, but they moved Woodruff to the rotation. So just pitching in general is thinner than it's been. And then some of their guys, their key guys, that just haven't come through. You know, Jesus Aguilar was a monster last year. Not at all this year. He lost his job. Lorenzo Cain, he's in his 30s. You know, he's not quite what he used to be. He's getting on a little bit. So, you know, I think this team is being propped up a lot by Christian Yelich, who's a freaking god. He's unbelievable. But beyond that, it's a thinner roster than you would have expected. Last year, they had so many different contributors. And this year, it's Yelich and a bunch of guys.
I don't know if you saw the entire Dylan Cease performance. I really enjoyed watching his Major League debut, and not just the fact that he touched 100 and sat around 97, 98 with his fastball most of the time. The curveball looks like it really plays. We actually saw him make some in-game adjustments after he clearly had a little case of the nerves, I think, to start, which is completely understandable. What do you see in him? What did you see in him?
Yeah, I still, it's just hard for me to get over the Tigers thing, and I don't want to throw cold water on the thing because I like Dylan Cease, and he's got great stuff, and he's a really dynamic prospect. It's just that there's really a big difference between facing the Astros or the Yankees and facing the Tigers. The Tigers are the worst offense in all of baseball. They're still better than AAA rosters. I'm not saying there's no credit to be had for going out there and getting the win, but, you know, should you be having jitters around a team like the Tigers? It's your first start, I get it. But I just want to see more. The raw stuff is certainly there, though. I will agree with you on that. You can see that secondary stuff is very good. He's got the heavy fastball. There's a lot of good elements to it. I just want to see more, which is not a bad thing. I mean, it doesn't mean that I'm discounting it or anything like that. It just means that if the White Sox fancy themselves as being wild card contenders, and they're there, they're not that far out. You know, they're hanging in there, and they want Cease to be part of this rotation not only for the rest of the time, but for this season in particular. You want to see performance now. You don't want to be, well, he was all right, but he gave up 7 runs. No, he's got to pitch well if the White Sox have a shot this season.
Ronaldo Lopez had a strong enough finish at the end of toward the end of 2018 to make things look somewhat respectable. It has been a real rough go here to begin the season, and he will need a much stronger kick to get himself back into decent starter territory. Do you see him being able to do that?
Yeah, it's tough because he's struggling in every single way, right? He's getting blasted by balls he's getting blasted by contact, rather. 117 hits and 23 home runs allowed in 98 innings. That's rough. His walk rate isn't particularly good. He's walking too many guys. He's just kind of struggling in every single way. You know, the name of the sport is command, right? And when you say command, you're not really referring to walks per se, whether it's hitting or pitching. What you're saying is, you could get the pitch that you want if you're a hitter and you can hit it, and you can locate where you want as a pitcher and do what you need to do. And Lopez just has not done that. Again, this is another guy. I don't want to compare it to Cease because I don't want to put the kiss of death on Cease, but it's the same kind of thing that if Cease is going to succeed, he's going to have to control the strike zone better than, you know, 4 walks against the Tigers. Lopez is an order of magnitude worse, obviously, because he's struggling against everybody in the entire league. I mean, it's him or Nova, right? Who's the worst pitcher in the American League this year? It's probably either Nova or Ronaldo Lopez. That's a pretty rough 1-2 punch when you're trying to put something together if you're the White Sox.
You're probably going to understand why I ask this, because it's in the context of what we were talking about regarding a potential Cubs move. But I was looking at where Victor Caratini of the Cubs ranks among catchers, and it turns out that if you set the filter on Fangraphs to 90 plate appearances, he is the fifth most productive offensive catcher in baseball with a weighted runs created plus of 133. And he's still at that age where I think it's fair to ask, what's his ceiling? Does he project to being a starting catcher on a good team?
Well, let's start with this. If we're going to go to Fangraphs, if you look at the Fangraphs prospect report, it gives him a 55 future hit tool. A catcher with a 55 hit tool, that's really good. That sets you up pretty nicely. And, you know, you could see that catchers don't need to be defensive marvels necessarily to succeed. Contreras himself is erratic. You'll see good moments out of him, but some of the metrics don't love him. So I think that there's something there with Caratini, and I think that's something to explore. We just talked about the idea of, you know, what do you do if you want to trade a foundational piece? Or, you know, well, I mean, if you really, really want to be gutsy and you believe in Caratini, you could certainly get a boatload for your all-star Wilson Contreras if you really wanted to.
You sniffed it out.
Or you could turn it around. Sorry, go ahead.
Say you sniffed it out. That's exactly the reason why we went there.
Yeah, well, that's it. But, I mean, you could turn it around and say, well, if Caratini is, you know, 25 years old and all that, it's not like the Cubs are the only team that sees it, and maybe you can get, you know, plus-plus value for him in a go-for-it trade, too. So I think that it cuts both ways. It really depends on the direction of the team, but you've got two quality catchers regardless.
Jonah, is there a player or team that starts the dominoes falling as we get closer and closer to the deadline with teams a little uncertain about how to, well, probably not they're uncertain, but we're uncertain how they're going to proceed with just the one deadline? Is that DePoto in Seattle just continuing to trade? Is it the Giants that make moves? How do you feel it?
I cut you off at the pass with the Contreras thing. You got me on DePoto. Of course it's DePoto. It's always DePoto. He loves to make trades. I had that Justin Hollander on my podcast. Really interesting. I'd recommend it, not just because it's my own podcast. He was on. He's the assistant general manager of the Mariners and was with Jerry in Anaheim as well. And they talked about how you go about rebuilding. You know, they acknowledge that they're not going to win this year. So what do you do? How hard, how painful is it, and what are you looking for? What causes you to pull the trigger? Really interesting stuff from Hollander, and they've still got some pieces left. I wouldn't say that they're monster pieces. They're probably not going to trade Mitch Haniger, and they're going to hang on to some other guys, but there's still something there. So I think that'll be one. But, you know, I'm looking at the Giants, because if you look at a package deal, you're talking about that Madison Bumgarner-Will Smith trade. So many teams, whenever you hear, oh, so-and-so's in on Bumgarner, it's always that they're in on Smith, too. And if you want to get, let's face it, Smith is an elite reliever right now. An elite reliever, along with a guy who's a playoff hero, and even if he's a smidge not as good as he used to be, still maybe the best starting pitcher on the market, I think that sets the tone. So Mariners might be the first one up here just in terms of they'll continue. They've already made trades. They've already traded Eddie. They already traded Jay Bruce. But I think that the Giants, just in terms of setting the tenor for it, they hold the pieces right now.
Yankees continue to amaze despite having a ridiculous amount of injuries this season. What lessons can be learned from how to weather serious injuries to star players? Is there anything that is replicable there, or is this just the fact that they've put together a really, really talented Major League roster?
It's very simple, guys. You create a roster and you say, hey, guys, go out and hit 307 with runners in scoring position. Just do that. That's nothing else. 307, that's all we're asking, nothing else. The last team to be better than that was that Alan Craig Cardinals team, who I'm sure Cubs fans remember very, very well. They were pulling stuff out of their ASS the whole time, just constantly. Oh, clutch hit. Oh, the Cardinal devil magic coming through again. It was annoying, frankly, if you're a Cubs fan. This is the Yankees this year, a little bit smaller. The Cards were 330 that year, Yankees 307. And, of course, you combine that with the power, right, that if you've got a Gary Sanchez and you've got an Aaron Judge and Glaber hits for power, everybody else, Voigt, all these guys, then you're going to get a situation where either it's a three-run jack or it's a two-run single. I mean, that's really, really tough to combat. And furthermore, maybe a little bit overlooked, but they just got Domingo Germán back. Domingo Germán's been really, really good, a breakout pitcher in his own right this season, looked really good in his first start back. That bolsters probably the biggest weakness on the team without Severino, having Germán back. So, yeah, it's a great club, and as long as they hit 300-plus runners in scoring position, they're going to be real tough to knock off.
Jonah, before we get to the All-Star break here, I figured put you on the record, see if we can have a fun bet together. Christian Yelich leads with 31 home runs. Cody Bellinger has 30. Pete Alonso at 28, and that's just the National League. How many 60-home-run guys are in the 2019 baseball season?
Zero. Always bet the under on extreme circumstances every single time.
Even with the ball?
Even with the ball. There's going to be a lot of guys who hit 50. I'll say four guys hit 50, but I don't think anybody gets 60.
I'm going to put you down as four guys hit 50 homers. Thanks, John. Appreciate you.
You got it.
That is Jonah Carey, who joins us every Friday around 11, and he's brought to you by Arlington International Racecourse. It's here, Friday, July 5th, tonight, fireworks night at beautiful Arlington International Racecourse. Experience live music and entertainment all day and into the night. The best fireworks display you will ever experience kicks off just after dusk. Visit arlingtonpark.com for tickets. I know we had some people on the phone lines. A good time for you to jump in. 312-644-6767. And earlier today, Hall of Fame baseball writer Peter Gammons was on the Mully and Haw show with Espo and Campy and was asked directly what he thinks the immediate future holds for Joe Maddon. It was an interesting response.
Mm-hmm. We got to get into that because things are changing fast, at least in terms of how the front office is speaking about their ball club. We'll get to Peter Gammons when we return. It's Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sox and Cubs are off today, but they are on over the weekend, and the score is 2. So you're going to have opportunities before the game so you can celebrate the Wintrust Crosstown Series. Tomorrow, Saturday, Shy Sox Bar and Grill near Gate 5. Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegler are going to broadcast inside the clubhouse live at 2 until Cubs pregame with Zach Zaidman. And then Sunday, it'll be Spiegel again with Hit and Run at 9 a.m. until the Cubs pregame with Zach at 12:35. It's all brought to you by Wintrust, the presenting sponsor of the Wintrust Crosstown Series.
I would imagine that all the shows out there have plenty to talk about.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Your Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves will open the season on Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Peter Gammons joined the morning show today, Mully and Haw being manned by Mike Esposito and Rick Camp. And he was speculating about the future of Joe Maddon, because we don't know. Joe Maddon is twisting in the wind here in the final year of his contract. We also know it's possible that major changes are coming to the team, as threatened on these airwaves, as you heard by Theo Epstein. So what does that mean for Joe?
I would be surprised if Joe were fired before the season's over. If on July 25th, the Cubs are still, just walking along, I could see Theo trading a major piece and shaking up the team.
See, it'd be interesting the way Gammons puts it, that Joe would stick around, but a major trade might still happen. It's such a weird place to be at for this team, you know, in a final year of Joe Maddon's contract, because you're not going to, you know what you can't do? Blame a pitching coach or a hitting coach, because you've changed those 3 times in a row, right? You can blame your own depth for not supporting Joe and, you know, the rest of the team by being a good enough squad, essentially, but that's pointing a thumb. And in season, you know, if you're making that major trade, it almost makes sense to stick with Joe, because he's been a constant on this team since 15. He has been part of the culture building and the assemblage of what it is to be a part of a team that's made the playoffs each and every year since 2015. Each and every year he's been there, plus the World Series. I kind of get it, and I'm increasingly kind of accepting the fact that they will, it seems like, just kind of ride this out, regardless of the little frictions or big frictions that are kind of come up and happen between both front office and manager. Because those, I mean, let's be honest, those have existed this season, if not for years prior.
Good time for you to join the conversation right now. 312-644-6767. That's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. We are Bernstein and McKnight. We are here 9 to noon, Monday through Friday, on The Score. It's funny you say it the way you did right there, because the timing of how everything has gone down in the last couple days is interesting. And I guess, as I understand it, when Theo joined McNeil and Parkins and went in hard, what is it, about 2 hours after that Madden then has his pregame media session?
Yeah, two and a half,
which,
something
as
like
we know, that's plenty of time for something to work its way into the news cycle.
That's
and then,
an eternity.
But it's an eternity. So, you know, I just know in general, managers are very aware of what's sort of put out there and when it's put out there, because the, you know, Peter Chase, whoever it is going to go to Joe before he meets the media and say, look,
here's what happened.
Here's what happened. Here's what's being talked about.
Uh-huh.
Here's the headlines.
Yep.
You know, the Tribune just put out their evening edition online and via email, and this is what's in there.
Here's what everybody's tweeting.
Here are the Twitter trends, because he doesn't want to get caught flat-footed on all this stuff. And then it makes, you know, all of a sudden he's got to concentrate on some things beyond just that night's baseball game.
Plus, you're in the middle of having it handed to you by the Pirates in that series, and you've got this weird Friday off day today. You know, so the baseball schedule, like the rhythm of life, is real different this weekend than it is in most other weekends. They're in a stretch of games. And I think, you know, as much as Cubs fans hate hearing it after as often as it got, you know, you got beaten over the head with it last season, all those games to end the year, it felt like they were playing in 90 straight ball games. Yep. The way they were talking about it. It does
matter.
Well,
and the talking about it, too. It wasn't
that's what
just
I'm saying. The talking about it felt like it was as long as the actual playing. It does matter, though, especially when, think about it this way, we've talked and Theo talked about it, how awful the depth has been. I wrote this down. He said, we have had some uncharacteristic soft spots where we didn't expect them. To me, that screams, we thought Daniel Descalso was going to be really good at second base, and he has not been.
Nope.
And we have had to paper that over as best as possible. And plus, you know, you've kind of struggled to find production out of center field as well.
Or we thought Yu Darvish would come back much stronger and much more reliable.
At least give you a couple more innings, if not just going to be that 4.5 ERA guy. 5 and fly is one thing at 4.5, but, you know, 6 and a third, 6 and two-thirds on a nightly basis is a hell of a lot better, plus the injuries you've had too. Yeah, there's been some depth. There's been some depth issues. And if you've got those, that means you have to lean on some of the starters a little bit more often, and that means they're going to get gassed a little bit more, a little bit quicker.
In Mokena, this is Mike on the score.
Mike!
First of all, I'm not a Cubs fan. I'm a Sox fan.
Mike, first of all, nobody asked. And second of all, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Here's just my feeling. And I'd feel the same way if this was going on the South Side. Exact same situation. 3 years removed from the World Championship.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Joe Madden is Joe Madden. He's in year five. He's the same guy he was in year one, year two. Oh, he happened to win a ring in year two. This is about the players not hitting, not pitching good enough, getting picked off base, okay? It's on the players.
Well, it's on everybody.
Joe's not going to change his approach. He's 65 years old.
Mike, he already has changed his approach.
How has he changed?
Mike, if you've followed what has gone on with the Cubs this year and you've listened to what everybody has said from the moment spring training started, Joe has been very specific about how his approach has been more hands-on. He has been much more vocally and individually involved as a hitting instructor this year, for example. He's been more active around the cage. He has rededicated himself to the coaching side of it this year in a way that he hasn't. So the idea of him not changing is factually incorrect.
Okay, so what has that gotten them in regards to record and everything?
Well, that's why.
He's hands on.
Again, that is what. Well, first of all, your first point about him not changing is wrong. And second of all, it is not just the players. He does bear some responsibility.
I'm saying most of the blame is on the players getting the job done.
No, you literally said it's just on the players and that's it.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you. There is blame to go around, and Theo said exactly that just 2 days ago on Mac and Parkin's show. And I think, you know, when you look at Joe and some of the decisions that gets made, the Mike Montgomery consistency.
I knew that call was going to be rough the moment he decided to announce that he's a White Sox fan.
I don't know. Maybe it's context matters.
No, but that call. Those always that is one of those. That's like, here's something nobody's been talking about. You know, that is a signifier.
I haven't paid attention to a lot of the things you guys have been talking about around this team.
It's a signifier early in the call that things could go sideways.
But here's what I thought. Yeah. Now, it's fine is what it is. No, I mean, there are conversations and decisions that get made that do bear some questioning from Joe's perspective. But when it comes to mistakes being made on the base paths, when it comes to defensive liabilities happening from guys whose calling card is defense, that is on the players. To me, you cannot make those mistakes.
Let me say this though, and this is maybe just old school me and old red ass me, that for a guy whose actual mantra, his watchword, is respect 90.
Yeah,
he's got guys who consistently don't, and there's no accountability for it. Like if that's you're literally the guy with the brand respect 90. It's the name of your foundation. And when you have somebody who doesn't respect 90, there's guys who would have dragged them out of the game by their nostrils with two fingers. And at some point, if you're going to wrap yourself in it and you're going to say it and you're going to be like that's your buzzword, and then you don't actually enforce it.
Right, but he can't lose guys at this point, you know? I don't know if it's a fear or not, but listen. Albert Almora makes that bad play to begin the Pirates series, and then you see a change. You've got Addison Russell making a terrible defensive read, and then Robel Garcia comes in. Now, granted, those two instances are surrounded by really convenient baseball reasons to alter the lineup or get that guy out or make a change or whatever. Like Robel was in his second day. He had that pinch hit appearance to start his MLB career and then gets his first start the next day. That was probably going to happen anyway. But it's worth noting that when he's had the ability, he has made some soft changes. He hasn't gone hard on any one of his guys. I'm sure he has, but I can't remember an instance where he's gone real hard and yanked a guy out like that.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to be a grandstanding public move, but
no,
I'd love to know if behind the scenes, usually a response is, well, he knows. I wonder if he really does call a guy into the office and say, hey, knock it off.
Talking to every now and again. He's had some sit-downs, I would imagine. But you can't, I mean, like with Baez, for instance, if he doesn't bust his ass out of the box, that's great, and maybe he does deserve to sit the next day if he hasn't respected 90. On the other hand, it's really difficult to make out a lineup for this Cubs team right now that doesn't have Javi Baez in it.
In Lincoln Park, here's Bill. He's on Sports Radio 670 with Bernstein and McKnight.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
What's up, Bill?
Yeah, I just wanted to call and say, you know, that I want to put this a little perspective for the sense of I think Joe and Theo have all done a great job along with Jed, but if you had to, you know, people are trying to talk about firing Joe. I mean, if you wanted to apportion more blame to anyone, and I wouldn't say it's a lot more, but you'd have to apportion more blame to Theo as far as not doing his job the last couple of years. If you look at the signing to Darvish and some of the other failures in terms of the free agent signings, I mean, Joe has done a spectacular job in terms of 4 years, four straight playoff appearances, a World Series victory, and he's still in first place and people are talking about firing. I think it's just completely up.
Well, it's because they've played badly.
What's that?
It's because they've played badly.
I didn't hear what you say.
It is because they have played badly.
They're still in first place
again, correct? but they're not playing well.
Well, but they do have a $200 million budget. At some point, Theo is getting. He's only the Red Sox have a higher budget than he has.
No, the Yankees are up there. Dodgers are
right. No, you're right. I mean, listen, Chatwood, Darvish, Morrow are going to be three words that haunt this front office
for
a
while.
He said
it. Theo's not avoiding blame.
Is what it is.
He's owning it.
No, I'm not saying Theo should be attacked. I'm saying if you had to apportion more blame for the last year, I think
nobody's,
it's more on Theo than Joe.
I think you're not hearing, or you're hearing things we're not saying. No one's saying he should be attacked. I'm saying he's owning it. You just heard him. We just played 20 minutes of it, of him taking blame.
Right. No, I understand, but he's not talking about firing himself. He's contemplating firing Joe.
Well, he wouldn't fire Joe. He just wouldn't renew the contract. I know that's semantics,
it's essentially the same thing. He's not giving him job security for a guy who's been to the playoffs 4 years and four years he's been there and he's won a World Series. I mean, I think Cubs fans, and I think Theo's being unfair to Joe.
Being unfair?
Yeah.
How so? How is he being unfair?
A guy should not be looked. You shouldn't even have a discussion about firing a guy has been in the playoffs every year. And the bad performance we're talking about this year, they're still tied for first place.
But again, forget them being tied for first place. They're not very good.
But the thing is, the season is half over. In 15, they were 500 at the break, and then they exploded into the second half, and they ended up winning 98 games. So it's like the season is not over.
I don't think anybody's saying the season's over. They're saying that they're not playing very
well. What I'm saying is to fire him in midseason would be an absolute, I think, be disgraceful. What he's
all right.
Done.
Okay. Noted. We got you on that side of the ledger. I don't think they do. I don't think they end up firing him.
I don't think so either, but I certainly don't think a team that is drastically underachieving under a lame duck manager, should they decide to go in a different direction, I don't think that rises to the level of disgraceful. I think that's the reality of a team with very high expectations, knowing they've got a finite number of opportunities to win.
They'll have to describe and be real honest and real clear about why the next guy is better than Joe Maddon, though. You know, just the way they did when Rick Renteria was let go and replaced by Joe Maddon.
That's
they,
an easy one, though.
They told him, well, it's easier, yeah, no doubt, but they're going to have to do pretty much the same thing because Joe Madden's got 4 playoff appearances. He's got his World Series. He's the curse breaker as much as Theo is. He matters to this organization, and he's going to matter to a number of players that he ends up leaving, whether it's in the middle of this season or after it's done.
Bill on Capitol Hill on Twitter. It's like, you can tell Bernstein and McKnight work for the Cubs flagship because they refuse to acknowledge the true villain, the McCaskies.
They just spent some money.
Yeah.
No, listen, there have been expenditures on this roster that have gone nowhere.
A lot of bad
Morrow,
money.
Darvish, and Chatwood really hurt. And the Daniel Descalso signing has not worked out either. Granted, that's small potatoes when it comes to those $3 signs. But it has not been supported by, well, let's call it what it would have been, cheap minor league depth. It's not been supported by enough of that. David Bodie's a nice little success story, and I think a good player going forward. And Robel Garcia making his major league debut over this week, that's nice and kind of fun going forward. But if you look around some of the top teams in the National League for sure, and then, you know, there's that Astros thing, there's a hell of a lot more success stories like those than the Cubs have had. And it's pretty clear that that's what it takes to support a cast the way you've put it together when you're not developing your own pitching. It just is what it is.
The Lawrence Holmes Show comes your way when we get done. We are Bernstein and McKnight, and we will be doing transition as we head toward the top of the hour on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's LYST. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thanks to our guests today, Scott Merkin and Jonah Carey. Thanks to the producers, Mike Chen and Sean Anderson. Thanks to everybody who called in and all the texters with their odd thoughts on everything.
Everybody more odd coming in now.
Twitter
That's
as well.
All wonderful. Yes. Thank you for
very,
all that.
Very strange things that are occurring. In the. It's Friday. I know. I understand it. And it is, of course, a holiday today, but nobody told us.
No. Nobody's. Mark Grody's going to be in for Lawrence. We'll talk to him in a second. But this weekend, Saturday, come out to the Shy Sox Bar and Grill near Gate 5 to celebrate the Wintrust Crosstown Series. Bruce Levine, Matt Spiegel broadcast inside the clubhouse at 2 p.m. until the Cubs pregame show with Zach Zaidman. And Sunday, you can come out to near Gate 5. It's the Wintrust Crosstown Series celebration part deux. Matt Spiegel's broadcasting Hit and Run. He does a fantastic show. That's at 9 until Zach starts the pregame show at 12:35. It's all brought to you by Wintrust, presenting sponsor of the Wintrust Crosstown Series. We got the weekend planned for you.
Well, are you going?
I may. I haven't made final decisions on that one yet.
Okay.
Gotta negotiate that with the
home
front.
You probably get a craving for all of the various food items that you didn't have in the last run.
Oh, I broke the seal with the Merck's burger. That's right. The problem. And then I had the ice cream on the way back in the concourse.
And the helmet? The big one in the helmet?
No, like I got the root beer float. I got the root beer float. A lot of people don't realize that they do the giant root beer float out there in right center field. So I tanked
Where's
one of those.
Son of a Mitch working?
Son of a Mitch was... Oh, he was behind home plate working. Dude, that guy had the toughest job at the ballpark yesterday.
Was it elotes or something?
No, he was on dogs for Dollar Dog Day.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, that kid was sweating.
That's not easy.
Working hard. But it was good to see Son of a Mitch. Nice to see him on his little summer vacay.
Do they still have the corned beef sandwich?
I think so. It's been a while since I've looked for that one.
It's a representative corned beef sandwich that happens to be at a ballpark.
Yeah.
It's usually responsible for the mustard on my pants.
Now you're making me think I ought to head out to the ballpark and catch a game. You can, and you can also check us in transition with Mark Grody when we come back. Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.